Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book just before Revelation, way back toward the end of the New Testament. One chapter is a whole book, the book of Jude. I would say Jude chapter 1, but it's just the book of Jude. There's only one chapter. This is God's word. "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who've been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever." Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires.' These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glorious presence and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. This is a short but powerful and very important letter. It is written by Jude. Jude, a servant or a bond slave, he uses the word for one who was at the lowest and completely owned by the master. Jude, a bond slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Who's James? Well, he was a prominent leader in the early church, and he was biologically the half-brother of Jesus. Jesus had several siblings. And if you look in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, or in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, among his brothers, and he also had sisters, it mentions both James and Judas, or Judah, or Jude. This is Jude. And I think it is instructive for us that he doesn't capitalize on that, but Jude, who was the half-brother of Jesus, simply refers to himself as the brother of James, but the bondslave of Jesus. We need to remember that as much as Jesus loves us and welcomes us into the family and died in order to save us, don't forget, he is Lord. He is Lord. To those who've been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. That is good news. That is good news.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. And then he says, now, I wanted to talk to you about this. I wanted to write to you about this. But I really became concerned that there's some other things we need to talk about. Have you ever gone to talk to somebody about something and what you were going to talk to them about ended up not being the topic of conversation because something else came up that needed to be addressed? That happens, doesn't it? Well, it happens here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend or to fight for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Okay? If somebody comes along with something new, like the Quran or the Book of Mormon or whatever, it's not truth. Certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now the main point for today, because it has to do with this right here. Be warned. False teachers sneak into churches to serve the devil by lying. That's not a new phenomenon. Do you think that's happening nowadays? Yes, of course. Well, do you think it was happening in the 1900s? Well, of course. There have always been false teachers who come in and they serve the devil by lying. They lie. Satan is the father of lies. And so Jude says, certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They sneaked in. How does a person slip into the church? How do they sneak in? Do they just kind of come in the back door and sit down and pretty soon? No, they can pretend that they believe what we believe. They can pretend that they love Jesus. But the fact of the matter is they are described in Scripture as wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay? On the outside, they can look like they're one of us. They sing the songs. Some of them are in ministry. Some of them just want to teach a Sunday school class. But let me tell you something. The fact that a person professes the truth doesn't mean that they really love the truth. So, they have slipped in secretly, and they are godless, changing the grace of our God into a license for immorality and denying Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Again, what does Jude want to remind us of about Jesus? He is the Christ, the Lord, the Master, the ruler. He's the boss. And so you and I need to recognize that anybody who wants to downplay the lordship of Christ, you know, let's just don't talk about that. That's a real turnoff for a lot of people. A lot of people are very resistant to authority. Yeah, going all the way back to the garden, that's our problem. God said you can eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden except this one. We went for that one. Rebellion against authority is what got the devil kicked out of heaven and took a bunch of the angels with him, and Jude mentions that. He says, don't forget what happened with them. There are those who will change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Let me ask you a question. Are there preachers today who try to tell you that it's okay to live in sexual, they wouldn't call it sexual sin, they would say, just fulfilling your sexual desires, okay? Whatever they may be. If you're gay or bi or whatever, it's fine. We want you to know God loves you just the way you are, and we love you too. Well, that's taking a truth way out of context. Does God love sinners? Absolutely. Jesus came to save sinners. But he came to save sinners, not just forgive them. Let me just tell you something. When preachers try and tell you it's okay to be gay, they're lying to you. They may be sincere. They may be motivated by compassion. But that's like telling a person who's anorexic, hey, I think you're adorable, and if you want to lose another 10 pounds, I'll do anything I can to help you. That's cruelty. That's hideous. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. So why are you picking on gay people? I'm not. God hates sin because sin destroys people. And right now, if we had a bunch of people crusading in the streets saying that adultery is a good thing, you know, I've committed adultery with 23 people and I'm proud of it, I wouldn't be saying, oh, well, we don't need to worry about that one. But we're living at a time when certain things that God says are sin are being passed off as not sin. Okay? What about gluttony? What about greed? What about gossip? These are all abominable sins. Absolutely horrible. But most churches Don't celebrate gossip, only greed and gluttony. Now, we're not having, July is glutton month. Okay, we're not doing that. And when we do, God forbid, I'll be preaching against it. But these folks try and turn the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and in so doing, they are denying Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Now, although you already know this, I want to remind you of this history, and he takes them through previous examples in biblical history where God destroyed people who were in rebellion against him. He says, they serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. That was the folks in Sodom and Gomorrah. But what they experienced was not eternal fire. What they experienced was a fire that came in and destroyed them. You might think of it as kind of an illustration of annihilation. And he says, but no, there's eternal fire coming. You mean the people from Sodom and Gomorrah are still going to have to face judgment? Yeah, Jesus said so. In fact, he said it would be more tolerable for them at the judgment, at the final judgment, than for the people of Tyre and Sidon in Jesus' day, because the people in Tyre and Sidon saw the miracles of Jesus and still rejected him as the Messiah. And the more you know, the more you're accountable for. Let me just tell you the good news. Those of you who are students here at the ranch are being genuinely loved by people who love Jesus. Isn't that good? You want to know the bad news? Those of you who receive this love and truth and say, no thanks. I want to be my own boss. I want to do my own thing. I want to have it my way. You're going to be in worse trouble when you stand before God because you have no excuse. You can't say, well, I didn't hear. Nobody told me. You've been told. You've been told. What are you going to do with the truth you know? You still want to have it your way? Be your own boss? Tremble for you. He describes some very deep spiritual realities that he says these people, these false teachers, don't even comprehend. Instead, they speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them. They've taken the way of Cain. What did Cain do? Well, he not only killed his brother, but that followed upon God rejecting his sacrifice because the sacrifice he offered was based on what he felt he had produced as opposed to a blood sacrifice which would point to the Messiah. They've rushed for profit into Balaam's error. He was a prophet for hire, a guy who sometimes preached the truth, but then turned around and knowing the truth suggested a way to lead people into sin. They've been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Korah's rebellion, yeah, they were folks who said to the leadership that God had put in place, you're not the only ones who can speak to God. We feel that we should be treated equally with you. And God said, stand back. And God destroyed them. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. There are some people who are concerned about the sheep getting fed. There are some people who are just concerned about getting themselves fed. They'll say what they have to say in order to keep their job. I've had numerous pastors say to me, man, if I were to preach that in my church, I'd be fired. And I say, get fired. Get fired. You don't think I've ever been threatened when I was in the pastorate? You don't think I was ever threatened by people who said, you're going to destroy the church. You're going to split. People aren't going to go along with that. My job is not to come up with things that everybody will go along with. Yes, we're warned in Scripture that there will come a time when people just have itching ears and they collect a whole bunch of people who will say what they want to hear. Those aren't pastors. Those are wolves in sheep's clothing. Don't look for somebody who's just going to tell you what you want to hear. Look for somebody who will send you back to the book and say, check it out here, see if what I'm saying is true. God's word does not change. We are to fight for the faith that has been once for all delivered to the saints. Why do we have to fight for it? I don't like fighting. Because our warfare that we're in is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You can't just opt out. You don't get to be Switzerland. Okay? Then he describes and quotes from something that Enoch said. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, who prophesied about these men. What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that the Lord is going to come in judgment. And he says, verse 16, these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. In other words, again, just trying to take advantage of people by saying what they think will manipulate those folks into giving them what they want. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you have the Spirit. If you are a Christian, if you have been born again, you don't need to get the Holy Spirit. You need to surrender your life to the Holy Spirit. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. What does this mean, pray in the Spirit? Well, I'm going to give you a few references. Romans 8, 26 through 27, which talks about the fact that we are no longer enslaved by a spirit of fear, but God has given us his Spirit of adoption, whereby we call him Abba, Father. That's Romans 8, 26 through 27. Galatians 4, verse 6. Ephesians 6, 18. And 1 Corinthians 14, 13 through 19. If the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and you don't know exactly how to pray, you can go to him and say, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know exactly how to pray about this. So guide me as I pray for this. And sometimes the Lord will surprise you and you will say things that you didn't know how to put into words. You do what God tells you. You pray as the Spirit leads. So, verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Notice again the idea of keeping you. Verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. He starts out talking about us being kept by Jesus Christ. He concludes by reminding us that we are kept by Jesus Christ. Where is your security? We have victory in him. Please, don't rely on yourself. But when you cast yourself on him, surrender to him. He is your Lord. He will do what he promised and live his life through you. And he'll guide not only your prayers, but your steps. He'll keep you in the way you should go.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-888-8888. 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.